to the official podcast for St. Philip's Episcopal Church in Rochester, Michigan. You can learn more about our church at our website, stpfeeds.org. Our Sunday services are at 8 and 10 a.m., and all are welcome. This podcast is the sermon for Sunday, October 27th, 2019, the annual stewardship sermon by Eric Williams.
I know why you came to church today. You knew it was the annual stewardship sermon, the high point of the year, and you said, yes, I want to hear a pitch about money. And we have the perfect gospel for it. We have the perfect example of how to live a perfect life. The Pharisee, he does everything right in Jesus' parable. This is the guy who fasts twice a week, who reads his Bible, who knows the law of God backwards and forwards, and who gives 10% of his income. Be like the Pharisee. Amen. Well, as usual, Jesus takes these stories and he flips the script. Everybody expected Jesus to say, be like the Pharisee, but he turned it around. He instead lifts up the tax collector as the example of how to live a holy life. The tax collector, the scum of the earth in Palestine. Not today. Tax collectors, IRS employees are perfectly fine, civil servants, they do a good job. But in Palestine in the first century, they really were despised because their job was to collect money from their own neighbors. These were Jews hired by the oppressive Roman overlords to extract money from their neighbors. They sent their quota to Rome. Anything they made over the quota, they got to keep. So if you met a rich tax collector, you knew his neighbors hated him because he was extracting money from them by whatever means necessary. So when he comes to the temple to pray, you know, I think he knew in his heart that he was not living the right way, right? He didn't lift up his head. He didn't go close to the Holy of Holies. He stayed far away and knelt down and prayed because he knew his need for God. And that is what Jesus is talking about. The Pharisee, for all of his perfection, has left no room in his life for God, right? It's all about him. I fast, I pray, I do everything right. I'm not like these other jerks over here, especially. Oh, look at that tax collector. I'm so glad I'm not like him. There was no room in his pride, in his arrogance for God. Whereas the tax collector, who was indeed a hot mess, knew in his soul his utter dependence on God's love and mercy. I think that's a wonderful framework for us to talk about stewardship. I could stand up here and say, it's simple, just tithe. If you tithe, you're going to heaven. If you don't tithe, you're not. Boom, end of story. But it's not that simple. It's complicated. And it's more about our ability to turn to God than it is the number that we write on our check that we give to church. It's about the inner journey of the soul and the heart that makes all the difference. I've struggled, I don't know about you, but when I was growing up, we did not talk about money. I never knew what my dad made. I never knew how much we gave to the church. I think I told this story before, but I was mortified as a kid because when the plate would come around, I'd watch all the other families there putting things in the plate. They'd come to our pew and my dad would do one of these. He'd just wave off the usher. I thought, what is going on? Well, he was making his gift to the church, whatever it was. He was doing it on an annual basis. We didn't have electronic giving, but he wasn't doing it in church. And I thought, people are going to think that we are not giving anything. This is horrible. So I started putting a quarter in the plate just so we'd have something. Because I knew that it wasn't important what you gave. What important is how you look to other people, right? That's what was important. I was measuring myself against other people. And that didn't change as I became an adult. I asked my priest at the time, how much is a good amount to give? And he was like, well, whatever you feel like. I said, oh, I want to know what the rule is. I want to know that I'm paying my fair share. I want to be able to hold my head up high when I go to church. And I never felt comfortable. Whatever I was giving, I didn't feel good about it. I felt like it was not enough, or I didn't know what the rules were, and I wanted to follow the rules. I was a rules-based person. In other words, I was trying to be a good Pharisee for a lot of my life. Even, this is a hard confession, but even when I was ordained a priest, I was still in my life of stewardship trying to be a good Pharisee. I started tithing, not because I wanted to, not because of some spiritual transformation, but because I knew I couldn't stand up in church and teach stewardship if I wasn't setting a good example. But something over the years began to shift in my heart about this issue of money and giving. And it had to do, I started out with following the rules, but ultimately I began to see and experience that it was about an inner shift. And the only way I can really talk about it is in the difference between living in scarcity or living in abundance. Now, I knew about living in scarcity. My dad grew up in the Depression, very poor, and so he had the Depression-era attitude about money, which is, one, you don't talk about it, two, it's very scary, and three, you never spend it, if you can possibly help it. So all my friends were wearing, you know, their clothes with the particular label, whatever was in those days. I don't know what's even in now, but they had the label. I never got the label. Ugh. When I got a bike, my dad was so proud. He found an old beat-up bike at a garage sale, and then he found one for himself. And we rode these old junky bikes from L.A. to San Diego, 150 miles, and they broke down like three times. And I was like, couldn't we get a new bike? No. It's going to be... So I knew all about scarcity, that mindset of there's never enough, the pie is only so big, we got to be careful. And there's a good part of that. There's a good part of frugality and being careful with money. But it's not good when we live in this mindset of scarcity. Because if we know anything from reading the scriptures and living a life of faith, is that God is a God not of scarcity, but abundance. I mean, listen to our scriptures today. God is showering down rain upon a parched land. God is providing food for his people. God is showering them with the Holy Spirit and giving them the ability to speak and to prophesy. Abundance is what God is doing in our lives, and it's taking me my whole lifetime to figure out how that works, and to try to live that way. If we live in scarcity, we're worried that we're not going to have enough. If we live in abundance, we are trying to constantly give what we have away, to be more and more generous, because we trust so much in God's amazing goodness. This is a challenge for us as individuals, because there are so many needs that we have in our financial lives, so many pressures that we feel. Believe me, I live in the same world you all do. I know. When I started tithing, we had little kids, and we were, you know, we were really raking it in as ministers, let me tell you. It was hard. There's always more pressures than you know what to do with. But I also experienced it in the parishes that I served. In New York, I was in a parish which relied very heavily on an endowment. They had an endowment of about $4 million when I arrived. $4 million. So they were able to take a portion of that, the income from that every year, and take care of their buildings and grounds. Wouldn't that be amazing if we could do all of our buildings and grounds work with the income from an endowment? That would be fantastic. It was great there. It was wonderful. It also enabled us to have more staff and programs than we otherwise could have supported with pledges. All that was great from the years 2000 to the year 2007, and then 2007, 8, 9, 10, the endowment was like less than 2 million, less than half, and there was a crisis. How are we going to survive this? And that's when I learned how to trust in God's abundance as a congregation. Yes, we had to do some belt tightening. We had to make some hard choices about how we spent our money. But God provided. We had what we needed to do the ministry that God was calling us to do. And now that church is going great guns. Everything has recovered. They're doing more outreach, more ministry than they were ever able to do before. We faced a similar crisis, a smaller crisis, a couple years ago when our number one pledger, an incredibly wonderful man who was so generous, by the time he died, his one pledge made up 25% of our total budget. When he died, we had, let's say, a little crisis financially. How are we going to deal with that? We're still working our way. Larry can tell you, we're still working our way slowly through that deficit. So if you wonder, when you look around and go, hey, wait, this church is growing. We're seeing new people. We've got new pledges. How can we still have a deficit? It's because of that one event that is a challenge for us to work through. And yet, it is not something that we need to overly panic about or stress about, because we also know that God provides abundantly. God gives us everything that, if we are faithful, if we are doing what we're called to do, God blesses us with more than enough to carry us through these challenges. We are making great strides, I think, on working our way out of that deficit, and we have many goals that we want to accomplish. We would love to catch up on the many years of deferred maintenance and really bring this place up to where it needs to be as far as the buildings and grounds. We have goals as far as increasing what we can offer as far as our education programs for children and youth and adults. We, of course, want to have a balanced budget. That's our dream, right, Larry? Sustainable, balanced budget. But I know that we will get there, because it's not on us. It's not us being good Pharisees. It's not me saying, okay, everyone, just here's the amount you need to give, and then we'll have it. It's about this invitation to keep turning to God. If everything were easy, why would we turn to God? It's the hardships and the challenges of our life which invite us and lead us to keep casting ourselves, as the tax collector did, on God's provident grace and God's loving and abundant mercy. We have everything we need and more. We have so many blessings in our lives. And so as you pray about stewardship this year, obviously pray about the financial gift that you're going to make, but I want you to do more. I want you to think about and meditate on how God has been and continues to be blessing you and blessing this congregation. And give thanks. And I want to say, as your priest, how grateful I am for your incredible faithfulness and generosity. It is truly a privilege to serve in this place with such faithful, loving, and generous people. May God grant us the blessings of abundance and the spirit of the tax collector. Amen.